Today on The Journey.
What makes this such a dangerous emotion is anger not only comes up from the things that happen to us today or tomorrow, but an emotion can arise from something that happened in the past, right? Just like that.
Three types of anger desire to have you. They crouch at your door seeking entrance to your soul and your family's. Today, Ron Moore and men's minister Tunch Ilkin give you a peek at those manifestations of anger. Look at them, know them, so you can keep them outside. Also, we're offering for a gift of any amount Ron's booklet titled, A Biblical View of Sexuality. Its scriptural references and relevant instructions celebrate God's gift of sex and encourages its proper use. You can get yours when you call 724-731-2018. Your gift today will help further this ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron to introduce his guest host for part one of a discussion they've titled, A Man and His Temptations, Anger on the Journey.
Thank you for joining us on the journey. We're involved in a series focusing on the real issues of real men. And joining me for these segments is Tunch Ilkin, pastor of men's ministry at the Bible Chapel in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, sought-after speaker around the country. Tunch, you're a former NFL Pro Bowler, 13 season Steelers, one season Green Bay Packers. Now, a lot of times you hear announcers talk about players playing angry.
Yes,
In fact, sometimes you hear that from players.
Right.
You have to play angry.
Yeah.
And you see that it's a violent game.
Right.
And you come to the point where you say, yeah, if they're going to play, you got to have some pretty high emotions going
right
there. Talk about that. Do you have to play angry when you play football?
Well, I think there's an intensity. Yeah, you know what? I did play angry. And the way you play angry is you talk yourself into, you know, it's us against them, and you kind of play mind games really with yourself. And sometimes the anger is real. Sometimes maybe the guy you played against this week had his way with you the last time you guys played, or maybe he took a cheap shot at one of your buddies. You know, I never forget in the late 80s, we played the Houston Oilers, and that was during the Jerry Glanville days. And we felt that the Houston Oilers were taking cheap shots at our guys, and we got into a big brawl in the middle of the field. And even Chuck Knoll and Jerry Glanville got into it at the handshake at the end of the game. And there's this animosity that we had with one another to the point of taking extra shots. So yeah, there's a very real anger that happens within the context of this game that is played with a lot of intensity. Look, everyone that walks on a football field knows what they've signed up for. It's not like, gee, I didn't realize it was going to be that intense. You know what to expect. So there is this intensity. It's a violent game. It's a collision game. And sometimes you have that mindset. You've got to have that very, very physical, tough intensity. I mean, I think that's the word I think that I keep coming back at, intensity. And sometimes it can get over the line if you allow yourself to get caught up in the emotion of the moment.
So I've read stories about Michael Jordan, who
right
would say he played
right
with that high intensity.
Right.
He said played angry. Jerry West, if you've ever read about Jerry West, a great Laker, mm-hmm, he said every game he played angry. And he would even lay awake at night, couldn't go to sleep.
Right.
He said if he couldn't make himself get fired up for the game, as he was walking on the court, he would brush up against someone
right
and say, I'm gonna get you. I'm gonna go after you. So some guys do that for competitive edge, and
right
men are competitive.
Right.
And guys out there in business listening,
right,
I mean, they're competitive. They
right
wanna make the sale. They're gonna do what they need to do.
Right.
And you do have to have an intensity
right
to do life in some instances, certainly play football. Now, it's one thing to play angry.
Right.
It's another thing to live angry.
Mm-hmm.
How do men move from the competitive nature that we have
right
and not allow that to really be an issue with anger in our lives?
Well, I think that's where it becomes a discipline. One of the things that I used to say during my playing days, one of the reasons I love football is that you get to do on the football field what you would get thrown in jail for if you did on the street. And so there's this.
You're a thug.
Yeah. So there's
Tunch Ilkin, the former pastor.
He is a pastor, and the thing about that, and Ron, you know what I'm talking about, that there is this release. You know, in our show on addictions, we were talking about the release of dopamines through drugs and through pornography and even affairs. There's a release of dopamines through anger. And when you're angry and you just kind of go, there is this feeling that comes as a result of it when you come down of kind of this well-being. And I think the difference becomes that when the football game's over, sticking with the football analogy, when the football game's over, it's over. And whatever happened through that 60 minutes, it's done. And the guys that manage that well, the difference between living angry and playing angry, understand that that part is over with. I'm done. It's time to move on. And, you know, one of the things that I can honestly say about my football career, as angry as I've been at guys on the football field, in 14 years, there were only two instances when someone that I was very, very angry at, I didn't seek out to shake their hand and say, well done, mm-hmm. and let in. There's only twice in those 14 years and out of the 200 or whatever games I played in that I didn't go on and say, it's all right, it's done, it's behind me.
In the Old Testament, there are 8 Hebrew words to describe the emotion of anger. There's one Hebrew word that means to foam at the mouth. I've done that one.
Yeah.
A storming rage.
I've done that.
There's one heat, fury. There's one word, sharon, that means to burn with anger. The most common one is the Hebrew word off, and it literally means nose, nostrils, or face. Mm-hmm. And it's the picture of what the word represents. And you think about that, a picture of flared nostrils, mm-hmm. a bull that's a raging bull. That should be a movie about that.
That's it.
Heavy breathing,
right.
Hardened facial expressions. So anger is not only ugly on the outside, but it's ugly on the inside as well. And we've talked about some of these things. Envy, it comes across as envy. It never works alone. So you got envy with it, or jealousy, or pride, or bitterness, or injustice. And Tunch, I want to talk about this just for a second. What makes this such a dangerous emotion is anger not only comes up from the things that happen to us today or tomorrow, but an emotion can arise from something that happened in the past,
right.
just like that. And we're angry about something that happened 30 years ago.
Oh, you know, Ron, that is so true. I can go back to a coach that I had been wronged by 30 years ago, 40 years ago. And I can get right back to that point. And for me, normally the anger stems from pride, that I feel that I was disrespected. I feel that my pride was injured, and I want to go back there. You know, even a game that I might have played bad, or a guy that cheap shotted me, and I let it go. You know what I mean? And I didn't retaliate, and I was looking for another opportunity, and that opportunity never came. Or a coach that I felt might have humiliated me in front of other players and dressed me down, and I can go back to that point and relive it all over again and feel the anger rising up inside me.
Well, I played baseball, small college, and when I was trying to get a scholarship to play, I played American Legion team. And I'll never forget, I was playing. You know, in baseball, you can get hot and you can go in slumps, and so I was having a great time. Batting average was good the whole bit. And this coach benched me for whatever reason. And would never tell me. And I went and talked to him and tried to approach it. And when I think about that issue, these many, many, many years later, I still like to go punch that guy.
Yeah.
I mean, the anger comes back. And it scares me that something that happened, and I could tell some stories that didn't happen so long ago. We both have some coaches.
Anger is one of my, I've got a lot of them.
But it's amazing, isn't it? How fast it can come back. Now, to be fair, sometimes we can move into passivity.
Right.
And there are times when we need to be angry. Ephesians 4 says, in your anger, do not sin. So you can be angry and not sin. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. Don't give the devil a foothold. So let's talk about anger in a positive way. Some positive examples of anger. One is Exodus chapter 32. Moses is on Mount Sinai. He's receiving the Ten Commandments. He heads back down. The people are dancing around a golden calf. And he was so angry that he took the tablets. I always think about that. He took these tablets that God had written on. He throws them on the ground. They break to pieces. Mm-hmm. Exodus 32 says, Moses saw the people were running wild and Aaron had let them get out of control. And they'd become a laughingstock to their enemies. And Moses was angry that God was being mocked.
Right.
And we need to have that.
Right.
When God's being mocked around us, our emotions should be stirred when we see things that could cause people to laugh at God.
Right.
There is a righteous indignation when we see God mocked or God's people wronged. You know, one of the ways I think that it always hits me is how Christians are portrayed and God is portrayed in the media. You know, they always go interview the most whacked out guy and say, now there's the Christian perspective, yeah, you know what I mean? And so there's this, wait a second. Or they use hate and we'll use a guy who has this tremendous hate for everybody. So that's kind of one of the areas where I really feel it well up inside me. And I feel like something needs to be said.
And so there are times when we need not to sin, but to be indignant at what's going on. Another one, Nehemiah. I mean, you look at Nehemiah, there's some times he got pretty ticked off at some people. One time he found the Jewish leaders extorting money from the poor and putting them into poverty and slavery. Nehemiah 5:6, when I heard their outcry and these charges, I was very angry. Mm-hmm. That word there means to burn with anger. Now, he didn't sin, but he took care of the problem.
Right.
So there's appropriate anger sometimes when we see injustice, when we see things going on around us that just shouldn't be happening.
Right.
Let me read this, Mark chapter 3, 1 through 5. Another time, Jesus went to the synagogue, and a man was there with a shriveled hand. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, stand up in front of everyone. He didn't want anyone to miss what he was going to do. And then Jesus asked him, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save a life or to kill? But they remained silent. He looked around at them in anger. This is Jesus. He looked around at them in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn heart, said to the man, stretch out your hand. He stretched it out and his hand was completely restored. Now, in that case, Jesus was angry. He looked at them in anger. It's right there in Scripture. He looked at them in anger. He was angry that their legalism was trumping healing a person on the Sabbath. So we should be angry when people are being kept from faith or they're imprisoned by legalism or they're lulled into a spiritual stupor by a watered-down message. Mm-hmm. When the gospel is being hindered, we should have some passion about that.
Right, and or when God is being mocked directly in our presence. You know, I'll never forget, we were doing our show and the subject of Tim Tebow came up. And you talk about a polarizing figure. And a guy called up and in a very mocking way said, when Tebow got sacked, was that Jesus's fault that he missed the block? And in my first impulse was to be angry, but it also gave me an opportunity to share Tebow's act of worship is really an expression of thanksgiving. But my initial response was, I can't let this go. This has got to be explained. And so I think that's a great point. You know, Jesus was also angry when he emptied the money changers out of the temple, that you have turned the house of God into a den of thieves. And so, you know, anytime that God is mocked, we should be angry.
It's amazing, isn't it? A lot of times our anger is against situations that don't amount to a hill of beans.
Right. The most intense anger, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the things we should be angry at, we're passive about.
Yeah.
Right. Three types of anger. First, there's obviously expressed anger. Outbursts, slamming doors, fist pounding, things thrown, destructive. Proverbs 14:29 says, whoever is patient has great understanding, but one who is quick-tempered displays folly. Mm-hmm. Tunch, I'll never forget sitting on the back deck with my son, and I can't even remember the situation. I think he had gotten a grade he shouldn't have gotten, or I didn't feel like he was trying hard enough in his sport. I'm sure very important at the time, I thought. And so I was very angry with him. I turned around, and we have a sliding door that goes into the house, and I grabbed the door and pulled it so hard that the door actually came out of the hinges. And I'm there standing holding this 150-pound door. And I thought, okay, a quick-tempered man displays folly.
Right.
Whatever my son had done didn't equate to what I had just done.
Right.
So we all have to be careful.
Yeah, I don't know how many times I've had to ask forgiveness from my children because, you know, I've overreacted when disciplining them. And I think one of the greatest things someone once told me, actually, was a counselor, is that the key to effective discipline is to not discipline out of anger. And I remember one time I grabbed one of my sons and threw him against the wall, and I felt horrible. I mean, I just felt so horrible that I could heat up that quickly and react in that way. See, I never broke doors or anything because I knew I had to fix them.
Again, like I said, it was folly. Genesis chapter 4, then the Lord said to Cain, why are you so angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door.
That is a great, great verse.
It desires to have you. You must rule over it. And anger is something that is crouching at our door. We have to rule over it.
Yeah, and you know, the thing about anger too is you can get into a pattern of anger in your youth. And a lot of times anger, because the way we're talking about it, it's used in sports and it's used in competition. When you are effective, you know, we applaud Michael Jordan. We applaud Jerry West. We applauded guys that in there, you know, Mean Joe Green and Dick Butkus. And the thing about it is that when you get the attaboys for that anger manifesting itself in sport and seeing success out of it, and then there's this physiological thing that happens in that kind of expressed rage, it can get a hold of you if you allow it, and it can continue from the athletic field into a lifestyle, and now you have a real issue. Now you have a real problem, and now you start blowing up all these relationships because it becomes anger that is uncontrolled.
You know, I get a little cynical sometimes at the NFL because with all this stuff going on with the lawsuits and the right. head injury, and again, it's a violent game. What makes the top 10 plays of the week on ESPN when someone gets jacked up?
That's right. I laugh when Goodell finds a guy and then you walk into the stadium or you're seeing these great hits. I mean, it is the nature of the game.
So to your point, expressed anger in childhood or whatever just carries on. So as parents, we may need to get our kids counseling. We may need to go.
And we need to understand that if we're modeling anger, our children will also model anger.
Guess what? Yeah. Not only is there expressed anger, but also anger that's suppressed. We harbor it inside. Shows up jealousy, envy, bitterness, resentment. Jonah goes to the Ninevites. Didn't want to go. He didn't want to go because they were such a wicked people. They wallpapered their caves with skin. I mean, they were wicked people. And Jonah said, if I go and preach to them, you're going to show compassion. I don't want them saved. And God did show his compassion. Right. He went after he was swallowed by the fish. And Jonah 4:1, but to Jonah, this seemed very wrong that God showed his compassion. And he became angry. And we always think of Jonah as this great prophet. And certainly he was. But the last recorded words of Jonah, God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be so angry about the plant? And Jonah said, it is. I'm so angry, I wish I were dead. His last words.
Wow.
And he's not acting it out now, but the suppressed anger, I wish I were dead.
And here's the destructive nature of suppressed anger. Not to say one's better than the other, but with explosive anger, with an outburst of anger, the anger usually is gone. Suppressed anger smolders and it becomes bitter. I forget who said it, that bitterness is like drinking poison and hoping the guy that you are bitter towards dies.
Yeah.
And it can consume you. Holding on to that kind of anger, holding to that kind of bitterness can consume you to the point where you are both jailer and inmate at the same time.
Frederick Buechner writes this. He says, of all the seven deadly sins, anger is possibly the most fun. To lick your wounds, to smack your lips over grievances long past, to roll over your tongue at the prospect of bitter confrontation still yet to come, to savor to the last toothsome morsel both the pain you are given and the pain you are giving back, in many ways is a feast fit for a king. The chief drawback is that what you are wolfing down is yourself.
Right.
The skeleton at the feast is you.
You know, the interesting thing about that is that we talk about guys that deal with sexual fantasy. Mm-hmm. There is a ton of anger fantasy going on. Yeah. I mean, how many times have you, well, you probably haven't, you're a pastor and all, but how many times have you replayed or fantasized about the next time you see this guy, you are just going to blast him and you are going to do this. And when you've been wronged by someone, you entertain this fantasy about how you're going to get even. And he is right. It's like a you lick your lips and you relish it. And a lot of times when I've done that, I've caught myself doing it and I'm going, I'm having a conversation with nobody. I am having this conversation in my brain. And sometimes even during prayer, and I'm like, going, oh my goodness, I'm praying and I'm having this conversation with a guy and my body chemistry changes, my temperature elevates, and I'm going, oh, you're such an idiot, Touch.
I've said I run Monday through Friday and I try to use it for a prayer time.
Right.
But there was a period of time when I felt like my son was getting shortchanged by a coach.
Right.
And every day I'm running, I'm having an argument with this guy. I'm trying to figure out how to put him down. And I'm thinking to myself, here I am, wasting all this energy. This guy's not thinking about me. He doesn't care about
me. He doesn't even know you're mad at him.
He doesn't even know I exist.
Or if he does, he doesn't care.
But yeah, suppressed anger. Yeah. Transferred anger. Transferring anger to those around us. Now, sometimes we're angry, and so we want everyone else around us to be angry.
Right.
So sometimes it's that. Sometimes it's causing others to be angry, like our children. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord, Ephesians 6:4, Colossians 3:21. Fathers, do not embitter your children or they'll become discouraged. So sometimes we're angry. We want everyone else to be angry.
Right.
Sometimes we do things that embitter or exasperate or cause our children to be angry.
Right. Or sometimes we come home, we're mad at something else or somebody else, and we take it out on those that are around us. I hate when I've done that in the past. When I've been angry about something, I've come home and I've yelled at the kids and I've caught myself and I'm going, what are you yelling at them for? They didn't do anything. And I call my kids and I go, look, guys, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I don't know why I got mad at you. I had no business getting mad at you. But it's kind of funny how it causes you to transfer. It's something you don't normally think about until you catch yourself doing it.
Touch, and we've said this throughout, but just to say it straight out, you've mentioned it, I've mentioned it, and I know I did it. I can't count the number of times. Asking our kids forgiveness.
Right.
You know, if you're a dad out there and you're not doing that, man, just drop your pride and go to your kids and say, man, I just screwed up. I am so far from perfect. It's not even funny. And you just saw that. And I'm sorry.
And please stay with us. Ron and Tunch return in a few moments with a preview of our next broadcast. You know, it doesn't take a long look to see how sex-saturated our culture has become. Whether in television shows and movies, on billboards, or at the mall, one thing is certain. Our society doesn't hesitate to put sexuality and sexual topics right in front of us. But where is the church in this discussion? Far too often, Christians remain uncomfortably silent about sexuality. Parents are reluctant to talk to their kids about purity. Men and women, who desperately need accountability, keep their sexual struggles to themselves. And churches often avoid these difficult issues entirely. But because God created us and created sex as part of the human experience, we must talk about this vital topic. We need to know what God has to say about it and how we can apply those truths to our lives. To that end, Ron has written a thoughtful booklet called A Biblical View of Sexuality. It's yours for a gift of any amount when you visit ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. Now, here are Ron and Tunch with a look at our next time together.
The more I'm saturated with the Word and the Spirit, as the Spirit of God lives in me, I've got to realize if I just say, well, I'm not going to be angry, well, that's not going to get it. It's through the Spirit. And to be willing to, you know, I had a brother one time say to me a long time ago during our football days, he said, you seem to think that anger is okay. And he said, it's not. Mm-hmm. And I remember it was very convicting because, as you point out, you know, we talked about it, played with anger. And because of the culture that I grew up in and the attaboys that I got out of it, the thought of anger being wrong was not in my way of thinking. And it took a brother to say, hey, Touch, don't fool yourself. Your anger is just as bad as lusting after a woman. You tend to separate those things, and it was kind of like a wow moment. You're right.
The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
We hope you can join us for that discussion next time. Also, we want you to have a copy of Ron's insightful booklet titled A Biblical View of Sexuality. It's yours for a gift of any amount, and you'll find it at ronmoore.org. That's ronmoore.org. or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. Plus, we invite you to have a look at our church website at biblechapel.org. There you'll find information about our worship services and special events, along with Ron Moore's recent sermons, devotional thoughts, and podcasts. Again, that address is biblechapel.org, biblechapel.org. And if the journey has made a difference in your spiritual life, won't you invite your friends and family to listen as well? We'll thank you, and we think they will too. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron and Tunch next time as we walk together on The Journey.